Now I'm going to turn to the Word of God, this most wonderful book. You know, there was a verse in the Bible I was singing about it this morning. By the words of thy mouth, I have kept me from the path of the destroyer. It's the only way that you may be preserved from the power of Satan, is by hiding God's word in your heart. The Epistle of James. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and the toss. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because of the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the passion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death, that's right. Spiritual and physical. It's brought forth into this world death, spiritual and physical. Now may the Lord grant us the understanding of those words which we have read from his precious book. Now this morning I want to speak about an everyday problem. What is the subject? So I didn't hear it that time. Now all together this time. You ready? An everyday problem. Now once again we've got it right then. An everyday problem. That's good. You know, I did go to school at one time in my life. When I went to school I was always encircled by problems. I had problems with mathematics, I had problems with English grammar, I had problems with history, I had problems with geography, and you name the subject, and I had real problems with it, and I was always getting into trouble. You see, in our school days, they weren't like they are now. You know, they just didn't pat you on the back now and say, try and do better next time, won't you? No, they got a long thing out, and they used to swing it in the air, and what do you think it was? Cane, yes. And they used to try and drive knowledge into us. Of course, now with the advancement of the educational system and so on, we've found out that that does not work. That's the wrong method altogether. Because sometimes people cannot take in like others. And so then, anyway, I was one of those who couldn't take in properly. So I had everyday problems. Now, you see, later on, I was able, by the kindness of another teacher, to get over quite a number of those problems. But now, when we come to the spiritual life, every one of us has an everyday problem. It doesn't matter the queen, or whether we go down to the most degraded person in this world. We take any teenage girl or boy, it doesn't matter where we go, what country we go into, you'll always find this problem has to be faced. And you facing it this very day, and it may be at this moment. And the problem is the long word, temptation. What is it? Temptation, yes. You cannot go through life without being tempted. You know, when a ship leaves Port Melbourne, you couldn't go up to the captain and say, "Listen, Captain, what kind of voyage are you going to have over to Southampton?" "Oh, it's a marvellous voyage. We're going to have sunshine all the way. It's going to be marvellous. We're going to have a wonderful trip. And the passengers are going to have a glorious time of it." Could he say that? No. It's all uncertainty with him because he doesn't know what is going to happen. He could have steerage failure, and his ship could get into great trouble and drift towards the rocky coast, and there be wrecked. Or he could catch fire, or disease could break out aboard. You see, no one can say that that ship was going to have a wonderful voyage to Southampton. They had to go moment by moment, day by day, and meet the obstacles as they came in front of them. And so it's the same with us. We have temptations all along the way. It doesn't matter where you are, whether at home, at school, in the factory, or in the university, or wherever you may be, you'll have this problem to face, temptation. Now then, I wonder how this originated. Let's go back a little, shall we? And the only book that we can get some real confidence in is the Word of God, the Bible. And we go over to Genesis there, and we find out the account of how the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And then what did he do? He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, not a dying soul. The soul never dies. Once God makes it a living soul, it lives on, whether it be in heaven or in hell. God made man a living soul. Then further on, we get these words. And the Lord God, he took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. I always like that verse, you know, because we men sometimes get a bit upset when we have to do some gardening. But don't forget, that was Adam's first occupation, was gardening, and God gave it to him. And it's a really uplifting thought. And you'll get down on your knees and pull out those weeds, and you'll go as hard as you can, and you'll enjoy it. Well, you see, it's good to look at things that way. But then, after that, God said to Adam, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt..." Now notice this word. "Surely die." Now, when a person says "surely," there's no compromise there, is there? The person would say, couldn't say, "Well, I'm going to change my mind." No. "Surely" means that it's going to come to pass, and it doesn't matter what you say, how much you ask for mercy or for grace, I'm going to fulfill my word. Surely die. Now then, we go over a bit further into the third chapter of Genesis, and we find the serpent talking with Eve. And he brings doubts concerning God's word. And then she answers him. Now listen to what she says. And Eve said to the serpent, "We may eat of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree of the garden," it is in the midst of the garden, "God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Notice the alteration from God's word. That was her downfall. "Surely," God said, Eve said, "lest." Now, lest may bring along a compromise and say, "Well, I said I'd do a certain thing, but I'll recant this time. I won't put it into operation." But you see, when Eve gave way to the serpent and she tempted Adam, both of them fell into sin. Their minds became darkened concerning God. They had no desire for him then, because they were told they went away and hid themselves because they were ashamed of themselves. sin had come into their life. You see, they yielded to the first temptation that ever given man. And because of that, temptation has been in the world ever since. And my friend, as you listen this morning, I want you to remember this, that naturally you have no desire to please God. You got that? You have no desire to please God because your mind is darkened by sin. That's why you need to be converted. That's why you need to become a Christian. There's no such thing as growing up as a Christian. You must first accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you haven't done that as yet, well, then you're still in the land, as it were, of darkness and misunderstanding concerning the living and true God. Now then, when Adam and Eve fell, God told them they were going to have a family, and as time went by, the offspring came. There was Cain. He was the first one to be born into this world. And you know, was he born to please God? No, not at all. He inherited his father's nature, and because of that, he could only sin against God. He could only sin against him. Abel, likewise, was born in sin. But you see, these two men, they began to reason within themselves about pleasing God. And Cain thought he could please God with his own works. But Abel discovered that blood was required by God where sin was concerned. And we discover that when they offered those sacrifices to God, Abel's was accepted, Cain's was not. And Cain immediately allowed that power of sin within him, the old nature, that old body of sin that is in each one of us. It started to work, and every time he saw his brother Abel, he hated him. And that hatred grew and grew and grew until, like a volcano, at last it gave expression to itself, and he let out with his deepest anger, and in the moment of passion he slew his brother Abel. That's what sin does. Do you find that working today? Never before have we seen so much of this business of murdering and killing people. People are murder happy today. The more they can gun down and see the blood flow onto the ground, the happier they are. Why? Why do they do it? Because of this sinful nature that has been born within each one of us. This is the nature I was born with. I haven't committed murder like that. But you see, the point is, it's there. Jesus said, for from within, out of the hearts of men, out of the hearts of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, thefts, murders, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride and foolishness. Now notice what he says. All these things come from within and defile the man. That's what makes a man a sinner, because he has this old nature within him. So then, each one of us, because we have this old nature within us, are subject to temptation. Now when temptation comes, we go down to it very quickly, don't we? But you see, temptation can not only come to the Christian, the unbeliever, but can also come to the one who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, the one who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, he has the power to say no to that temptation. But the one who does not know Christ, he's overthrown at his first temptation. And so people's lives today are lived by giving way to temptation. And sin, it brings about that power in the life that holds you fast, and you just cannot escape it. It's like a big chain around you. And the more you go on developing sin, so you'll become further and further away and hardening your heart against God. You know, I came from England. Do you know that? Did you know that? Does my speech betray me? All right then, yes. My wife always used to say, I can always tell where you come from. You say one. So I do. I always say one. 146. Now you notice next time we announce a hymn. But at any rate, when we were over in England, we used to build snowmen. And you know, you could take a small ball of snow and put it onto the snow on the ground and trundle it along. And, you know, it would get bigger and bigger and bigger until we got it to the correct diameter as we thought we'd like it. Then we'd make another ball and put it on the top and we'd have our snowman. Well, it seems like that. Every time you practice sin, it's like that snowball. It will get bigger and bigger in its ways with you, and it'll hold you fast like a vice, and you won't be able to get away from it. And that's why I want to give you this message this morning, because if you're faced with this everyday problem of temptation to do this, that, or the other thing, I want you to know that there is a way of escape. There is a way of victory for you. So all are born with a sinful nature, whether it be unbeliever or believer. Now then, this is what I want you to get hold of. If you are a Christian, when you became a Christian, God did not remove that old sinful nature from you. Now, have you got that? Look, if you get hold of that now, whilst you're young, you'll be saved from many of these pilgrimages for sanctification and holiness. You have a lot of these holiness meetings and so on. And they don't have the right scriptural outlook concerning. They're trying to make themselves better. The old nature, the old sinful nature. Ah, no, everything is in Christ.